Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us for the second hour of the show on this fine day in America. We are and should be proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We'll start by discussing moral injury with Vietnam vet Tom Hall. Then we'll review last weekend's Surface Academy football games, and Gil and Skip will present The Border in a Book. So it's a pleasure to introduce Dr. Tom Hall. Like me, he's a Vietnam vet, and he's really interested in helping hurting veterans. So, welcome, Tom.
Well, it's good to be here, and I appreciate you choosing this subject. It's coming along, although it's been here maybe up to 10 years being worked on by other people. It's fairly new to me, and I'm really glad that you chose moral injury as a topic.
Well, everything I know about it is what you said. We've only recognized it as a unique thing maybe 10 years ago. I don't know what it is, but it sure is. Tom, start by telling us about your time in the Army. When and why did you join, and what did you do?
Well, I joined, like a lot of people in the Vietnam era. I thought if I joined, I might avoid Vietnam. That didn't quite work out, as I volunteered to be a dog handler in MP school, and my orders were quickly changed from Germany to Vietnam. Then I came back to the United States and spent the next 18 months in Fort Sheridan, Illinois, outside of Chicago.
Okay. And in Vietnam, you were basically a dog handler, huh?
Yes, sentry dog handler.
Okay. You were a doctor now. I presume you weren't a doctor then.
No, I was a private.
Well, I guess a doctor could be a private. I don't know. Anyway,
I suppose, yeah.
Talk to us about your education. What did you get your degree in and why?
Well, I got my first undergraduate in psychology, a graduate degree in counseling, then went on and got my PhD in education so that, to quote a book, I could learn how to give it so people could understand it. It seemed that it was counseling was kind of micro-learning and understanding within the person. So it seemed to be
okay.
The place to go.
And you're now focused on helping veterans, particularly Vietnam veterans, who are having problems. And
yes.
Moral injury is at least one of the focuses. Do I remember it right?
Yes, that's correct. I belong to a local chapter, and while I am not working full-time, I have retired. I will see a veteran now and then on some of these issues. Before that, in retirement, I went to a PTSD group and was drafted to run the group, since at that time the VA was not supporting continuing care. This was on the campus of the VA, and the room was in the VA hospital. They didn't support it with any personnel. We had approximately 40 to 60 people show up each time. They got no travel pay. They got nothing in their chart. Two things that they'd been accused of as to why they wanted to keep it going. And I did that for about a year and a half until COVID hit. And still try to reach out to other veterans, the freshly minted veterans, and as well as Vietnam veterans and aging.
Okay. Well, about 10 years ago or so, I had a friend who was an MD. No, he wasn't an MD. He was a chaplain. And he started getting involved in moral injury. And as I recollect, what he taught me was, it was when you did something that violated your ethics, your moral. It might have been the right thing to do. It might have been following an order. It might have been saving somebody's life, but it still violated your ethics. And the example was, you're a sniper and I'm the sergeant, and I tell you, see that building down there, the next person that comes out is the enemy. There's nobody but enemy in there. Shoot the first person that comes out. And you do, but that first person is a woman carrying her baby. You did what you were told. It was legal, but it violated your personal ethics and you're hurting for it. Does
right.
that make sense? Am I saying the right things?
Well, I believe you are saying the right things. We were taught, going back all the way to the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt not kill. First step in war is you learn to overcome that. That said, once there's a conflict like that, and I've heard many stories similar to that, that were both intentional as that one was, or accidental, that somebody calls in the wrong airstrike grids and takes out the wrong area with maybe civilians and kids and women, or a hospital, anything like that, really, I think can kind of goes in a different track than PTSD.
Yes, that's what I understand. That it's because you violated your own ethics accidentally or on purpose, and your own moral values, right?
That's correct. And I think addressing that gives people a quality of life that they might otherwise never have had. I think you can address PTSD and get the background static that it could cause and the pain and the distraction down to some kind of manageable level. And at that time, then it's really, I think, a good thing for the veteran to work some on moral injury, the kinds of things that you just outlined that they experienced and are still befret. They don't understand. There's still reaction. It's still there. Listening to and talking to Dr. Amanda Yek and Chaplain Jeremiah Richards at the Charles George VA Medical Center, I came to understand that one of the things that they've run into is working on the PTSD and then working more on the moral injury, because that's kind of like the finishing touch. It's nothing. If you know about moral injury, you're going to work on it all the time anyway, but just writing about it and talking about it, it said the person that had more access to understanding that and being able to handle working on that after some of the PTSD had gotten to a dull roar, so that they could then be present to the work on that, to, you know, start learning some self-compassion and forgiveness, obviously some forgiveness, and making meaning and out of that kind of experience. It's a lot of shame, a lot of guilt, unresolved. Some people might call it complicated grief. And of course, if you're shooting the lady coming out of there with a baby, there's unresolved issues, loss of honor. And you end up coming home wondering who you are, what this is all about. That's a little different than the, while there's a lot of overlap between PTSD and moral injury, things like anger, depression, anxiety, those things are right there with PTSD and moral injury. And unfortunately, self-medicating can come with that too. So yeah. You find people, I mean, World War II, my father was a B-17 pilot in World War II, and he self-medicated a lot with bourbon. He was a successful salesman, but he did like the bourbon quite well. And then, of course, isolating yourself, that's the classic bunkering up in the hills somewhere and emotional numbing, not being able to feel anything. That's really good in combat. You can't sit around feeling things in combat. You got to move, you got to do the next thing, or you're going to be the one that's dead. So it doesn't work so well back in civilian life. Well, those kinds of things kind of overlap between the two areas of PTSD and moral injury.
Well said, brother. We're about out of time. Tom, how can listeners plug into you, get in touch with you, learn more? What can they do?
My email is thomashall4800@gmail.com. I'll be glad to start a conversation through email and look forward to it.
thomashall4800@gmail.com,
right.
.com. Tom, thank you. We haven't covered this on the show, and it's so important to do this. We need to stay in touch, brother. Thank you.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you for your service to our nation, Tom. God bless you.
Hey, you were worth it.
Next, we'll discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Groups, it's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time. Do at least 50. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. Suppose you were forced to defend yourself or your family. This can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. You will likely face legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation, and you may find yourself in the legal system. U.S. Law Shield is here to help you through these events. Experienced U.S. Law Shield attorneys are ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To sign up, go to uslawshield.com and use promo code FRONTLINES.
The U.S. is more than $32 trillion in debt, a number that is going up by the second.
Meanwhile, our country faces expanding global threats while our military readiness is consumed with unnecessary engagements elsewhere.
If we want to be safe in the future, we need to get our debt and spending under control. Visit cvafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. And it is Service Academy football time. I'm joined, of course, by our football co-host, Air Force vet Quentin Roberts. Welcome, bro.
Hey, Danny. It's a pleasure to be here talking football for our service academies.
That doesn't get a lot better than that, does it?
It really does not. Really does not. Great to be back in season.
And this past weekend was the first time all five service academies, Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, and Merchant Marine, played. They didn't all play the week before. Everybody won but Air Force. They didn't lose bad. So I guess we're looking okay. What do you think?
4-1 overall for service academies. I call that a pretty good weekend. Yeah. I would certainly agree with you. But, you know, in week one, it was Army who really looked like they were setting the pace. And followed by Navy, then Air Force. And of course, as you mentioned, Coast Guard and Merchant Marine Academy did not play in week one. So for them to open up as victors, we want to certainly congratulate them. But Army really continued its dominance as they moved into week two. They went on the road to Florida Atlantic in their first American Athletic Conference game, and they did not disappoint. They moved to 2-0 on the season. And I am going to start with the defense, as they have allowed only 7 points in each of the two games thus far. It is led by DeDomenico. You know, they have really been just lights out. It was in the first half where, if we look at the first half of the game, Army jumped out to a 14-0 lead. The defense was playing really lights out ball, and it was only a turnover that allowed Florida Atlantic to get a short field and move in to cut the lead to 14-7. But the defense, again, just really held. And as we look at some of the total yardage, total yards for Florida Atlantic, only 235, 193 through the air, 42 on the ground. And then as we move to Army's offense, 449 total yards with 405 coming on the ground. And I mean, the running game was in high gear as three runners ran for over 70 yards. Slot back Noah Short had a career best 160 yards on only 11 carries. Bryson Daly, the QB, put up 117 on 18. And Kanye Udo had 70 yards on just 14 attempts. So they spread the wealth around. They dominated time of possession, 38 minutes to 21. And that is a formula for success. And that is why the Black Knights really look good in defeating Florida Atlantic on the road, 24-7.
They did good. Navy did pretty well too, didn't they? 38-11 over Temple.
Well, I tell you what, Navy is and Coach Newberry are really finding their traction in this year. They really did. They put up a total of 409 yards on offense. They did give up 312, but they still came out with a decisive 38-11 victory over Temple. Junior quarterback Blake Horvath rushed for 122 yards and 3 touchdowns on 15 carries. He also threw for another 112 and a touchdown on 5-of-9 passing. Navy moved to 2-0 on the season and 1-0 in the conference. When we look at the tail of the tape as to how they scored, they jumped all over them. Again, defensively, the defense scored the first 2 points with a safety. Offense followed up with another touchdown. And at the half, it was already all Navy, 23-3. They stretched the lead out to 38-3 before Temple tacked on a touchdown in the fourth quarter to go to 38-11. But it was a total team victory, and Navy is really rolling at this point. It's good to see them playing good football.
Yes, sir. And their former coach, San Jose State, sort of socked it to Air Force, didn't they?
He did. He did. Falcon Stadium, welcome back, Coach Ken Niumatalolo, now the head coach of the San Jose State Spartans, who moved to 2-0 on the season with a hard-fought victory over Air Force, 17-7. It was San Jose State in the first quarter that jumped out to a 14-7 lead, and that would be all they needed, as their defense really just bottled Air Force up, and Air Force is struggling to find answers. They scored 23 points against Merrimack in the first game, which was a lot fewer than they were expected to score, and San Jose only held them to 7. They are struggling to find out, what do we do well? When you look at how they were able to move the ball, their total yardage was only 197, 54 through the air and 143 on the ground. So are they going to be a running team? Are you going to be a passing team? That's something they're going to try to figure out. They said John Boucher is a much better passer, but I think the rest of the team is really built for the run. And so they really need to figure out how to open up this running game. They've had some injuries. Of course, they were hit with graduations, but you know, some years you got to kind of rebuild, and this looks like one of those years for Air Force.
Well, yep, that does happen. Coast Guard did okay. They went 30-24 over the University of New England.
They did, Denny, and I tell you what, you know, that was somewhat of a shootout. When you talk about 30-24, that's a lot of scoring, and Coast Guard put up 484 yards to New England's 366. So it was a high flying, a lot of fireworks in this game. And so congratulations as they win the game in overtime. So congratulations to the Coast Guard Bears.
Yeah, high scoring games. That suggests that maybe the defensive team needs to work a little harder.
Well, at this stage of the game, everybody needs to work
a little harder. Well put. And Merchant Marine beat West Connecticut 44-27.
They did. Again, another fine performance by the Merchant Marine Mariners as they moved to 1-0 on the season. A hard-fought victory there as they jumped out to a lead, and it really was never close. So Merchant Marine is off and running as well.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking Service Academy football. Now, this weekend, Army and Navy took it off. They've got a bye. So Air Force versus Baylor.
That's right, Denny. And they go down into Big 12 country in Waco, Texas. And Baylor is a 15 and a half point favorite here. You know, again, the Falcons are really struggling to find offense. Their defense is playing pretty good ball. But if the offense just is not able to convert third downs and move the chains and get first downs and hold on to the ball and get that time of possession up, you know, none of our academies are built really to really be able to withstand those assaults. So they need explosive plays. They need to hold the ball and to limit turnovers. In their last game, they had 2 turnovers to San Jose State's 1. They need to win the turnover battle in order to even have a chance. And another area where, you know, can be in the margins where you can make a difference is the special teams game. Air Force has been solid there. But when an offense is struggling, you need spectacular from your special team. So let's look to see if they can make some big plays in the special teams game as well.
Indeed. And Coast Guard and Merchant Marine will be playing, and we wish them well. Quentin,
That's right. Thank you.
We'll be back at it again next week. This is great. I'm glad we're doing this. This is fun.
Always a pleasure, Denny. This is great. I agree.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, Gil and Skip will discuss the border in a book, and we'll open our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you're giving serious thought to buying silver and gold to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Danny Gilliman, Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice. Then take a break and stay in the area. I'll be right back.
HealthVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HealthVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HealthVet.net. HealthVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And now it's time for the Marine B&B. Marine Vet Gil Mazza, a retired border patrolman, will discuss our nation's southern border. Welcome, Gil. Thanks for joining us again.
Morning, Colonel.
And Marine Vet and author Skip Coriel will present an interesting book. Welcome, Skip.
Thank you for having me again, Colonel.
Yeah, I'm stuck with him. Gil, you're up. Given the millions of unknowns that have crossed and are crossing our border, and there's a college town in Ohio that they have completely taken over, the people at home are afraid to even go out on their front lawns. Is there anything good going on that you're aware of?
Well, you know, I was looking forward to seeing PETA come out in force, considering that, you know, they say that animals aren't food, and yet they're watching these illegals feed off our park wildlife, feeding off our neighborhood pets. And I guess they don't mind as long as they're, you know, the ones eating them are going to vote Democrat.
Well, of course, they're going to vote. However, the people that fix the ballots vote. The individuals won't know, will they?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, I was looking at my social media memories and I said last year I posted something that said that this disaster would get much worse before it gets better. And boy, we're seeing that right now. Now, Venezuelan gangs are openly taking over entire apartment complexes in Colorado and El Paso and many other places across the country, Colonel, that aren't even being reported, right? Because that doesn't fit the narrative. And, if you still believe that this isn't an intentional or manufactured crisis, the administration has been working tirelessly with Mexico to bus and feed and provide security to the countless illegals from 170 different countries that are now using the CBP One app, right? They're talking about the fact that the crossings are down along the border, and that's true, but that's because they funneled them through the CBP One app, and even people that have been previously deported now can come back through the premier smuggling app of this administration.
What is that act you just called?
CBP One.
Okay. How do you use it?
Well, these guys go on their social media. You can apply online. It gives you an appointment. And through that appointment, with that appointment, you can literally fly in from any country in the world into the United States, and they have to let you in and release you on your own recognizance until your appointment comes up.
And if you don't show up,
they've streamlined human smuggling to the point where it is, they have no competition with all these smuggling cartels, because we now have an app for that.
The cartels might protest that.
Well, yeah. Well, the funny thing is they're using it as an incentive. So now what they're doing is they're selling illegals from all over the world a private VPN that shows that they're either already in the country or someplace nearby, because that was one of the provisions. But it doesn't matter anymore, because now anybody can apply from anywhere in the world and simply fly in And so besides the fact that Biden has been flying in hundreds of thousands of illegals every month, and now through the CBP One app, we're probably looking at maybe 250 to 300,000 illegals being literally funneled in monthly by this administration, both legal and illegal methods, which there is no illegal method to this administration. But it's one of those things where you think to yourself, you know, you think our problems are bad. Wait till you see our solutions.
You know, folks, based on what Gil just said, you need to talk to the people that are running for Congress and the U.S. Senate and find out where they stand on this. This is incredible. Contact them. Don't vote for them if they're for this thing. That's incredible. Thanks, Gil. I really appreciate that insight. I didn't know about that. Wow.
Yeah.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're doing the Marine B&B with Gil and Skip. And Skip, you're up. What's the book this month?
All right, well, first, I want to thank Gil. That's such great news that you give us every single month. I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Gil.
Well,
thank you.
I love being inspirational, Skip.
Yeah, all right. Well, not to be outdone, the book we have for this month is called How to Survive the End of the World as We Know It. Tactics, Techniques, and Technologies for Uncertain Times. So, yeah, and it's like, I love this book. This is one of the first books that my wife and I read when we first began preparing for uncertain times. You know, some people call them preppers, right? Doomsday preppers. And it's like, you look at all the different ways that society could collapse. You're talking EMPs, power grid failures, the great zombie apocalypse, economic collapse, World War III, nuclear war, super volcanoes, tsunamis, solar flares, famine, pandemic, earthquakes, and my personal favorite, alien invasions. And Gil, when I say that, I'm not talking about southern border invasions, but invasions from other planets. So those are all in play.
Well,
so having said that, you know, many people right now, they are just so uncertain about what's going to happen, whether it be the election, whether it be world war, natural disasters, whatever. You can go on Amazon.com and just search on James Wesley Rawls, How to Survive the End of the World as We Know It. This is an excellent book, especially for someone who wants to prepare for uncertain times, but really is overwhelmed and they don't know where to start. This will give you step-by-step procedures, what to do first, what to do second. James Wesley Rawls, Colonel, you'll like this guy especially. He's an internationally recognized authority on family disaster preparedness and survivalism. He has been described by journalists as the conscience of survivalism. And this is what you'll like, Colonel. Formerly a U.S. Army intelligence officer. You like that, don't you?
Well, I always thought Army and intelligence was a contradiction in terms.
Yes, they would call that an oxymoron.
Yeah.
But this book has been translated into 7 languages. He goes all over the world lecturing. He's got a great blog called survivalblog.com. It was the first survival blog on the internet. And boy, it gets almost 500,000 unique visits every week. So it's not just crazy people like me who are worried about being prepared for uncertain times. It's pretty much a whole lot of people. Maybe they won't admit to it, but deep down inside, they're thinking, okay, do I bug out of the city or do I try and shelter in place? And this book, it talks about all kinds of things like that. You know, first, where are you in the country? Do you want to try to survive in place where you are, or do you have a bug out location? Do you have a cottage someplace out in the middle of nowhere? Is it stocked? You know, if you're going to stock your pantry, what kind of foods would you use during the apocalypse? You know, there's things like medical things, security. You know, there's a saying in the prepping world: if you can't protect it, you don't own it, because basically, you know, when and if society does collapse, whoever has the gun and the will is going to own whatever they want you know, mm-hmm. compared to people who don't have the gun and don't have the will. So security is a big deal in the end of the world as we know it. So, Colonel, I have to ask you, are you going to bug out? Or are you going to survive in place?
I'm staying in place. I've got what I need. And I know that if I run out of things, I'll come to your house.
that's what I figured you were going to do. What about you, Gil?
Well, you know, most of my neighbors are Democrats, so I have literally an endless supply of, you know, right here where I'm sitting. So I'm staying in place.
Okay. Thank you, Skip. That's a great discussion point, and we'll have to keep talking about it, but probably not on the air. So thank you for this. We're pretty good at putting up with each other, aren't we?
Oh, we sure are, and we have a great time doing it.
We do. And thank you, Gil, for joining the Frontlines of Freedom team, and thank you for your service to our nation.
Thank you, sir.
Skip, you're back on in a minute. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want your Ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. And I do some coin collecting. Universal Coin was the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a really great place to go to purchase silver and gold. I encourage you to do what I do. Go to universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I really welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me through Frontlines of Freedom or Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
Well, Colonel, Navy vet Oscar lives in New Mexico and sees so many illegal aliens in his city and county. He asks, are these illegals doing any good for our country? If not, why are they here?
Oscar, they're here because President Biden and Vice President Harris decided to ignore all U.S. laws on immigration and just let everyone in. This is indeed a terrible disaster for our nation.
And Samuel is a high school student who plays football and is considering applying for a service academy appointment. He really appreciated the comments by Mr. Roberts as he talked with the Air Force coach and discussed this year's season.
Samuel, Quentin Roberts really understands football and especially service academy football. I'm delighted that he's on the team and that you enjoy him. And now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 20 September 1797, the U.S. frigate Constitution, Old Ironsides, was launched in Boston.
And on 20 September 1806, after nearly 2.5 years exploring the Western wilderness, the Corps of Discovery arrived at the frontier village of La Charrette in what is now Missouri. It was the first white settlement seen since leaving behind the outpost of the Eastern Civilization in 1804. Out of provisions and trade goods and subsisting on wild plums, Meriwether Lewis and William Clark and their men were understandably eager to reach home. After spending the evening celebrating with the people of La Charrette, the next day they continued rapidly down the river, and after 2 more days reached St. Louis, the city where their long journey had begun. Lewis then wrote a quick letter to President Jefferson, telling him that the Corps of Discovery had at long last come home.
You know, we joke about, you know, military food out in the field. C rations, K rations, MREs, but just wild plums, that's like hazardous duty.
Indeed. Who knows what that could lead to?
And on 20 September 1917, the 26th Yankee Division, composed of troops from Connecticut, Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Vermont, became the first American division to arrive in Europe during World War I. Over 1 million American soldiers and Marines joined them by war's end in November 1918. All 18 National Guard divisions served in France, but only 11 saw combat as intact units. Six others became depot divisions, serving as a source of replacements for casualties suffered by the frontline divisions. One, the 93rd Division, composed of all the Guard's African-American units, had each of its four regiments parceled out to three different French divisions because American Army leadership did not want to mix black and white soldiers together.
We've gotten over that, thank goodness. And on September 16, 1940, World War II had started in Europe, but we were not yet involved. President Franklin Roosevelt signed the Selective Service and Training Act, which required all male citizens between the ages of 26 and 35 to register for the military draft beginning on October 16th. The act had been passed by Congress 10 days earlier.
And on 16 September 1945, during World War II, Japan's emperor issued a decree ordering all Japanese forces to cease fire. The cabinet resigned. The new prime minister ordered the Imperial Army to obey the emperor's call and lay down their arms.
And World War II was over. And on the 18th of September, 1945, General Douglas MacArthur moved his command headquarters to Tokyo as he prepared for his new role as architect of a democratic and capitalist post-war Japan. MacArthur was given the task of overseeing the regeneration of a Japan shorn of its imperial past. As humiliating as would have been for the defeated Japanese, the Supreme Allied Commander of the South Pacific would lay the groundwork for Japan's rebirth as an economic global superpower. Japan had revival.
On 18 September 1947, the National Security Act went into effect. It created a cabinet secretary of defense and unified the Army, Navy, and newly formed Air Force into a national military establishment. The act established the National Security Council and the Central Intelligence Agency.
That sounded good. Well, that same day on 18th of September, 1947, the U.S. Air Force was formed as a separate military service out of the old Army Air Corps. The Air Force's motto is Uno ab alto, one over all. At the same time, the Air National Guard was created as a separate reserve component under control of the National Guard Bureau.
And on 20 September 1951, during the Korean War, in Operation Summit, the first combat helicopter landing in history, U.S. Marines were landed in Korea.
Mm-hmm. And on 19 September 1959, in one of the most surreal moments of the history of the Cold War, Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev exploded with anger when he learned he could not, for security reasons, visit Disneyland. The incident marked the climax of Khrushchev's day in Los Angeles, one that was marked by both frivolity and tension. And that's military history for today. What would you do if you were forced to defend yourself or your family? These situations can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. In addition to it being the worst day of your life, you can face a large amount of legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation, and you can find yourself in the legal system, just the way the law works. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events that they never thought would happen to them. With their Legal Defense for Self-Defense program, experienced attorneys are always ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To begin your membership today or to learn more, go to uslawshield.com and use the promo code FRONTLINES. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, police said that amid an ongoing feud between the homeowner and his neighbors, five people approached a house, rushed the homeowner, pinned him against a car, and assaulted him. The homeowner, in self-defense, pulled out a pistol and shot two of the attackers, after which the remaining assailants fled the scene. Police Captain Richard Muhlenberg said that the homeowner defended himself against overwhelming odds and no charges were filed against him. One of the attackers died, a second was hospitalized. The remaining three attackers, ran away.
Thanks, Colonel. Some people would look at this scenario and wonder why the homeowner didn't go to jail for killing a man. They'd reason that he was outside his home, so he wasn't availed the legal protection of Castle Doctrine, and that would be true. Castle Doctrine doesn't even come into play here. However, when a man is attacked by five able-bodied men, it's not reasonable to demand that he fight them all off using only his bare hands. True, none of the attackers had a weapon, but wait, they did have weapons, all five of them. A man's hands and feet are a potentially deadly weapon. Certainly not to the degree of a knife or a gun, but still capable of killing or seriously injuring another human, nonetheless. Look at the homeowner's choices here. Running away wasn't an option unless he was a track star. This homeowner was beyond middle-aged, while some of his attackers were still in their prime. Standing and using only his fists to fight is only reasonable if you're incredibly proficient in the martial arts. Even then, it remains unrealistically difficult to fight off five men all attacking from different directions. Sure, it happens all the time in Hollywood movies, but this is real life. The man's third choice was to draw his pistol and shoot until the threat stopped. He chose option three, and this is what saved him from death or serious bodily injury. So, why did the police not arrest the homeowner? Simply because it wasn't reasonable to expect a normal man to fight off five attackers barehanded. The police asked this question: what would I have done in the same situation? This scenario is happening more and more these days, what with rioting and teen gang activity. So start thinking about what would you do if you're attacked by multiple people. This homeowner did a great job defending himself, and Front Lines of Freedom salutes him for his clear-headed thinking and for a job well done.
Indeed. Our movie of the month is The Neighbor's Window. You can go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link and watch it for free. I'd appreciate getting your comments on the movie. Send your comments to me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, Sheriff Dar Leaf will discuss cybersecurity and election integrity. Then veteran Mike Kubisha will present his book on Iraq. Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. And General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. Our book, Front Lines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And now it's available in Spanish. You can purchase this book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you won't get anywhere else on the Front Lines of Freedom. Dismissed.